The Food and Drug Administration is out with a new proposal that would essentially ban trans fat from all food products. Stopping short of an outright ban, the measure would classify trans fats as unsafe for human consumption. In order to use them in their products, food companies have to prove that the trans fats are safe. Public health officials say that's highly unlikely. Here in King County, all trans fats have been banned from food establishments since 2009. As a result, Dick's Drive-In changed its French fry recipe. Here's Dick's Vice President Jim Spady.
The fries are almost exactly the same, but now we have to use a zero trans fat oil because of King County health regulations. But it tastes almost the same as it did before.
So how dangerous are trans fats and how could banning them make people healthier? Judy Simon is a clinical dietitian and nutritionist at University of Washington Medical Center's Roosevelt Clinic. And first I asked her to describe exactly what a trans fat is.
Trans fatty acids are a type of fat that have been used probably, more than 50 years. And they're really partially hydrogenated oils. So the oils whose chemical structures have been changed to be used, let's say, in place of margarine or different, you know, fats that have been used in cooking and baking or, you know, in potato chips and things like that. And really they kind of came along because they were inexpensive. So they were inexpensive to develop and to use. So when butter got so expensive, you know, back in, you know, maybe post-Depression days or Depression days, that's when margarine came along, which was made out of trans fatty acids.
So is that where we find trans fats in things like margarines, or are they in processed foods as well?
So things like the traditional Crisco shortening, you know, the vegetable, you know, hard shortening that were a replacement for lard, may have trans fatty acids. We see them not in all, but in most of the margarine-like spreads, you know, many of them have trans fatty acids. And while we used to see a lot of them in cookies, crackers, a lot of the snack foods because of they were inexpensive.
I understand that the FDA actually required that companies that process foods label foods in 2006 that contained them.
And that was a really wonderful start, you know, for public health, for all of us, because just finding out what was in your fat, you know, what was in your food was a big starting point. But what was really exciting is now that when we look at the data, that actually the consumption of trans fatty acids has declined from about 4.5 grams that people would eat on average in 2006 before the labeling, and now it's down to about 1 gram. And the other part of the confusion is although they were labeling it, they didn't have to label it if it had less than 0.5 gram per serving. And a lot of food companies were very savvy, you know, in using very small serving sizes and putting zero, you know, trans fatty acids. But when you actually looked at what the ingredients were, it might have had, like, you know, partially hydrogenated oil in it. So people were really not getting the truth.
Why should I care about whether trans fatty acids are in my food or not? What would they do to me?
Well, one of the things that we've really, science has really found out that they have a much stronger impact on cardiovascular disease than what we originally thought saturated fats did. So let's say butter or animal fat or chicken fat. So we do have really good data that the more trans fatty acids someone has in their diet, that puts them at an increased risk for heart attacks. So even as small as a couple of grams of trans fatty acid a day can increase somebody's risk. I also work in the area of women's health, and the Harvard group did a lot of good research looking at what factors in diet impacted fertility, and one of them that came out very strong was trans fatty acids, so that they can be inflammatory in our bodies.
You know, it's interesting when I think about fat and just talking to you, it seems like the pendulum has really swung. When we first, you know, 40 years or so ago, probably even less, butter was the evil criminal and we were being steered to things like margarine. Margarine's better for you. It's heart healthy.
Right.
And now, if I'm thinking of fats at all, the ones that I hear sort of raised up on the pedestal are things like olive oil or avocado oil.
Absolutely. And so I think right now the data is probably strongest, and there has been a lot of good research even this week coming out in the Mediterranean type of diet, that the monounsaturated fats, those that we get from nuts, seeds, olives, avocados, are actually seem to be the most heart healthy and the least inflammatory. And I think that we have more research coming out and more on the horizon that's actually showing that not all saturated fats are bad and they're not necessarily causing all the problems that we originally thought with heart disease.
What the FDA has proposed is not exactly a ban, although that's what everybody's calling it, but instead to require people who have trans fats in foods they process to prove that they don't hurt people.
Yeah, which is basically a ban, because can you imagine the scientific, you know, work they would have to do? Which I highly, it would be very expensive research to do, and I don't even know if they're going to be able to prove that. So it is pretty close to a ban. So there is a public comment for 60 days, but you're right, the companies would actually have to prove to the FDA, and this is a huge step for them to take.
What public health benefits do you imagine might arise? It sounds like people have already stopped eating a lot of trans fats.
I think that, like you said, the percentage has gone down, but there's still people that eat a lot of the less expensive type of snack foods that will still find it in. Or there's still people that will buy, you can buy margarine for really, it's very inexpensive. And then some of the people that still cook with solid shortening, believe it or not, there are people that do. And so I think that it can really make an impact on some of those folks, definitely, I think, in the low-income population that are still using these products.
That's Judy Simon, clinical dietitian and nutritionist at UW Medical Center's Roosevelt Clinic. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.